pick up on from a couple of weeks ago is in 1 Corinthians 9, starting in verse 24. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we, Christians, we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Paul says, therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man that's just beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Well, we've been doing a series on praying biblical prayers, and we are at the end of that series. And I hope that this has inspired you, informed you, instructed you, like it has me, that if you want your prayer life to really take off and to really be significant, we need to learn to pray not just random things and not just selfish things, which if you're like me, that oftentimes kind of tends to be what's on the forefront of my mind when I go to prayer. But we need to pray Scripture, and we need to study the prayers of the Scripture and pray not just for the physical needs, as important as those are, but we need to pray for God's work in our hearts and in our church family and in the lives of just the Holy Spirit working transformation of who we are, of our character, of our capacity. But we've been talking and singing about God's love this morning and the need to demonstrate that. Friends, you can't just generate that in your own strength. You need the Holy Spirit to be at work deep in your heart and in your life. And that's what we pray for. God, you know, may your power be unleashed in my inner being. We studied that prayer a few weeks ago. And now we're praying about this finishing well, this idea of we are not in a sprint that's going to be over, start, and then it's done in 10 seconds. We are in a marathon. The Christian life is for the long haul. And so one of the key themes that we see in Scripture, and one of the things that we need to be praying about as we pray for our spiritual lives, is God, I need your strength and your direction to finish well, right? To make it all the way to the finish line of life, whether that is through my physical death or whether that is through the return of Christ for his bride, the church. God, help me to keep on keeping on. Help me to not get distracted. Help me to not get bogged down in sin. Help me, God, to keep being faithful day after day. And God, what does that even look like? In terms of my being transformed by your Spirit and by your Word. And God, what does that look like in terms of my being used by you to invest my life to the service of others, to the ministry of others? God, change me. God, use me to the very end. If you'll get out your insert, this is actually part two. A couple weeks ago, I kind of got partway through a message and realized the clock was running out on me, so decided to hold off. And so I want to, you see in the box there, there's a review section. That's what I preached a couple weeks ago. So I'm just going to summarize that real quick and then get kind of to what we want to talk about this morning. So we looked at this passage in 1 Corinthians 9, where we're in one of a couple of different places in the New Testament. The imagery of running the race, running a race, is used for the Christian life. And so we talked about the keys to finishing well and to running clear through to the end of the race. One of the keys is to keep your eyes on the prize. And that's what he's talking about here in 1 Corinthians 9, keeping your eyes on that finish line. And the finish line we talked about a couple weeks ago is that one day we are going to stand before God, and God is going to reward us for the faithfulness by which we live the Christian life. We want to hear God say to us, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." It is clear in Scripture that the Christian life will be evaluated. We will stand before God at the end as believers in Jesus Christ, not to determine whether we're going to go to hell or whether we're going to go to heaven. I want you to know that the moment you put your faith in Christ as a genuine believer in Jesus Christ, that is determined. And your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life at that moment. But the Scripture goes on to say we will be evaluated for how we live from that day onward, whether good or bad, how we live in terms of our faithfulness, and that is the prize. We want to be faithful to God's calling on our life. And so we need to keep our eyes on the prize, meaning we need to live this life in light of the next life, right? The idea that one day we are going to stand before God and we are going to be with Him for all eternity should actually impact the decisions that I make today and tomorrow on how I live my life, because this life affects the next life. And that is a core principle. And we need to pray, "God, I want to be faithful now in all that you've called me to." The second point we talked about last time, we kind of got into the details as the passages that talk about this do. We talked about to finish well. Not only do we need to keep our eyes on the prize, but we need to run smart and train hard. Paul talks about in this passage in 1 Corinthians 9 about, you know, I beat my body to make it my slave. Now that's kind of tough language. That's kind of weird language. But what Paul is basically saying is, I don't just let my body, the whole of who I am, I just don't do whatever I feel like doing. Because sometimes, in fact, a lot of the times, my flesh, my sinful nature wants me to do things that aren't pleasing to God. And sometimes I get lazy. And sometimes I get angry. And sometimes I get real selfish. And Paul says, so I don't let that part of me dominate. I take my mind and my heart and my body and I say, God, I am set apart for your purposes, and I'm going to make the choices in my life as a child of God to do the things that will help me grow in my faith. I'm going to spend time in your word regularly, meaningfully, with an open heart, saying, God, change me as I interact with your word, your living word. I'm going to spend time in prayer. That's why we've taken this whole series to talk about we need to be people of prayer. That's why I said to you last time, folks, if I'm preaching on prayer and we're talking about prayer on Sunday mornings, but we are not praying more in our actual lives, then we're just wasting our time here. And so I want to urge you one more time before we bring this series to an end. Are you carving out time in your life to pray? And are you opening God's Word and praying God's Word for yourself and for the family of God that you are a part of? Are we a people of prayer? Let me just say it this way. I don't believe God will ever bless a church that's not a praying church. I think that's a fair statement. We want to be a praying people. That is our great privilege, friends. As children of God, that we can actually converse with our Heavenly Father. That we can actually talk to Him and hear from Him in that time of prayer? Are we a people of prayer? That's the diligent practice. And so today, as we transition, what I want to talk to you about are the number three on your outline there. We want to talk about obstacles along the way. I want to talk to you this morning about some things that if we're not careful, will keep us from this finishing well. And so I want to walk that with you through that. The call here, of course, is it's a call to radical commitment, right? I mean, that's what Jesus is calling us to. That's what God is calling us to. Radical commitment to Him. That's what finishing well is all about. God wants His children. God wants us to be fully devoted to Him. I heard a story about a group of soldiers. There was a war going on between Indonesia and Nepal back in the 60s, and there was a group of soldiers from Nepal called the Gurkhas, and they were kind of the Green Berets of the day. They were the group that were so courageous, and they would do just about anything. And there was a time when they were asked if they would be willing to jump from planes into enemy territory. And the British soldier that was kind of leading that movement was surprised to hear back that initially they rejected it and they weren't going to do it. Because, I mean, this group was willing to do just about anything. So he was surprised to hear that they weren't willing to do this. Well, the next day they had a meeting, and the leader of this Gurkha group got together with this British commander, and he said, well, we've thought about it, and after having some time, we have decided we might be willing to do this jumping from the planes, but we have a couple of provisions that we have to have in order to do this. Well, what is that? And this Gurkha captain said, well, number one, could we make sure that we have, like, could we jump in an area that it's not, like, rocky, that there would be kind of a marshy area for us, because we're not trained in landing. So, well, the British captain said, well, this is over a kind of a forest area, so there'll be trees, and, you know, would that be acceptable? Okay, well, that'd be acceptable. What other provisions? And the Gurkha captain said, well, we'd like for the plane to go as slowly as possible. Don't know how slow that is, but we'd like for it to go as slowly as possible. And we'd like the plane to only fly about 100 feet off the ground. And the British captain said, well, if we fly at 100 feet, that isn't going to give your parachutes time to open. And the Gurkha captain said, parachutes? Well, you never said anything about parachutes. With parachutes, we'll jump from any distance. Did you just get it, Teresa? Yeah. Took just a second. Okay. Radical commitment. That's what we're talking about. A heart and a mindset of God, we will do anything. God, we will go anywhere. God, use us to the max. We are committed, like tunnel vision committed to following you. In our prayer life, and out of our prayer life, in our actions, and in our service, and in our love. So a couple of obstacles that I want to talk to you about this morning that we need to be aware of. The first obstacle that we need to be aware of, if we're going to finish well, is our past. The past. I want to jump around to a couple of other passages that kind of use this running theme. And we looked at them a couple weeks ago. But Philippians 3:13 says, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, the prize, Paul says, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind me and straining towards what is ahead, he says, I press on towards the goal. Forgetting what is behind me, the past. I have known many believers who have come to Christ, to faith in Christ, but it's like their past, their time before they came to Christ, is holding on to them with an iron grip that just keeps them from moving forward and growing in their faith. Paul was tempted by this. I think that's why he's writing this way. Do you remember Paul's past before he became a Christian? Who was the greatest persecutor of the church in the early church? It was Paul before he came to Christ. And he carried with him a whole lot of guilt and shame. He called himself the chief of sinners because he had Christians arrested. He sat by in the book of Acts, in the first account of a Christian being martyred for their faith. Paul held the coats of all of the stone throwers when they stoned Stephen to get death in the book of Acts. And then it's like that ignited a rage in him. And for the next several months and years, he went on a persecution, arresting Christians and going after them vehemently. But then he came to faith in Christ. And he had to deal with his past. For some of us today, we have our own past, don't we? We have things that we did, things that happened to us. Some of us, when we think of our past, we think of ourselves as you know, kind of more in the framework of, I was a victim. And some of you maybe were victims. Maybe there was abuse in your past where you were abused or neglected or just left alone. Maybe for some of us that are here this morning, what is in your past is some regrettable choices. Some things that you've done. Maybe some sinful addictions. Choices that every time, even today when you think about them, you can just feel the knots inside start to tighten up. And Paul says, forgetting what is behind. In other words, God wants you to do business with your past. He wants you to get it behind you. He doesn't want it to rule you. Some of you and some of us are defined by our past, and we're letting it define us. And God wants to change that. There's an old saying in counseling circles that's real simple. It says, you either pass it back, or you pass it on. Meaning you either deal with the stuff from your past, or you are going to repeat it and pass it on to the next generation. I believe that God wants to redeem your past. And I believe that this isn't just a matter, the point here is not to pretend like bad things never happened or that the past didn't shape who you have become today. That's a reality that we have to deal with. My own story, I've shared bits of my testimony. I came from a broken home. My mom was married three times, different times as I was growing up. I lived with a foster family for 5 years. And I came into adulthood. I had a lot in my past. I had a lot of insecurities. I had a lot of, I dealt particularly with a sense of abandonment, you know, with dads leaving and that kind of stuff. And I came into adulthood, and I never really realized how much that had shaped my personality and my insecurity with which I lived life. Well, then I got saved, and do you think all of that just disappeared? It did not. But you know what God did over the course of time? He called me to bring all of that before Him. My regrets. Out of some of that brokenness, I made some really bad choices. And I had parts of my life that were very unloving, very hidden, very, very, like, I'm not going to let people close to me. I'm not going to be close to anybody. Well, you can't really love people unless you get close to them, that kind of thing. And I began to do business before God with my past. And I began to say, God, I want you to bring healing where I need healing. There are some areas, you know, when a five-year-old boy watches his dad walk out the door for good, that creates some pretty heavy hurt. And I had to say, God, I need you to bring some healing to my life. You are now my heavenly Father, and I know that you love me perfectly. Can I rest secure in your love, God? Yes. Yes, you can. And I just began to bring my whole personality and my whole person before God and say, God, I want you to redeem these hurting areas, and I want you to take these sinful areas, some of these areas where I've, because of you know, the choices I've made, God, I want you to bring, set me on a new path. I want you to teach me from your word. I used to live the old way. God, you're calling me to live a new way, but I got to learn what that is. And all I can tell you, and maybe today I have to stand before you and say, at 50 years old, I'm still on that journey. Because in some ways I think that is a lifelong journey. But I got to tell you, God, here's what I want you to hear this morning. When it comes to your past, God is faithful. And God will do a work in you, and He will bring closure where there needs to be closure. And He'll bring new life where there needs to be new life. And when we get saved, the Holy Spirit, He can like rewire how you think. Because I was filled with a lot of, a guy in a church I used to be at used to call it stinking thinking. How I interpreted life, how I thought about life. And God began to change that in me. For some of you, when it comes to your past, today, you know you just need to do some forgiving. You're being held back in the Christian life because you're holding on to bitterness and unforgiveness about some things that have happened to you in the past, and it's time to forgive. And for some of you, you need to be able to forgive yourselves. Because what's holding on to you is guilt and shame over things in the past. One guy I read in preparation for this said, we have to be satisfied, listen to this, we have to be satisfied with the thing that satisfied God. And that is what? Christ's death on our behalf. When it comes to forgiveness and forgiving yourself, you're only going to be able to do it when you do it with the understanding that I am forgiven because of what Christ did for me, and I did not deserve it. Therefore, I can forgive myself and I can forgive others. So maybe that touches a place in your heart. Maybe you know that the past, undealt with business, is what's holding you back or potentially holding you back from moving on. Keep on keeping on. Well, that's the first one. Number two, the second obstacle that can really hinder us finishing well is a loss of focus. A loss of focus. 1 Corinthians 9:26 that we just read, he says, therefore I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. I remember one time watching a boxing match on television, and at the bell of the opening round, the one guy came running out of his corner and just swinging wildly, just trying to land the winning punch right away. And the other guy just kind of dodged the, you know, wild punches and bided his time. And then a little bit later, it was just boom, boom, boom. And the guy that started out wildly was on his back on the canvas. Paul says you don't fight like that. You don't live your life like that aimlessly. My daughter runs cross country. She runs a race down at Culver where they have about 500 runners at a race. Imagine a cross country race with 500 runners, and at the sound of the gun, every one of the 500 runners runs wherever they want to run. Can you imagine the chaos? People running into each other and running all over the place. It doesn't make any sense. And Paul says, some of us are living our Christian lives that way. We're just kind of wandering wherever the wind blows us. And we have no thought about what we're going to do tomorrow and where we're headed. There's no discipline. There's no focus in our lives. And for some of us, that is what is keeping us from finishing well and keep on keeping on, because we're just kind of going with the wind. Aimless. I want to ask you, let's get real practical here. The opposite of aimless is intentional. Some of us with let's say our devotional life. Some of us, well, we read the Bible, well, you know, whenever. If there's time after I've done my chores and I'm done with work or I'm done with the kids for the day, which is never. I know that. And so I'm going to try to find a place here and there. And when do I pray? Well, I pray, you know, sometimes I pray. Sometimes I go 3 weeks and I realize I haven't prayed at all. And it's just kind of random. That's aimless. I want to challenge us to have a specific time and place every day that you spend time with God. You find a place and you get there and you have a set aside time that works into your schedule. I'm not going to tell you when that time needs to be because all of our lives are a little different. But you have to prioritize and guard a time with God where you will sit and read His Word and study it. And you will bow your head and you will be on your knees or whatever posture you take, and you will talk to God regularly. Not aimless. Loss of focus. Third obstacle, and the last one we'll look at this morning, is sinful hindrances. The last obstacle that will block our path of finishing well, sinful hindrances. I'm going to go to Hebrews 12, which we looked at a little bit a couple weeks ago. But listen to what he says. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us, and here's the running picture again, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So throwing off hindrances. Anybody have any hindrances in life? Now, hindrances are not necessarily sinful things. We're going to talk about that in just a second. Hindrances are just other things that squeeze out the spiritual life. Of course, at the top of the list is just busyness. Wrong priorities. The author of Hebrews says we need to throw them off. Get rid of them. And the sin that so easily entangles. Some of us are trying to run the Christian life, but our legs and our arms and our bodies are all bound up with sin that is keeping us from being able to move forward. Well, the answer is throw it off. Well, what does that mean? I think it means repentance, where we go before God in prayer and we begin to pour out our confession. God, I am involved with this sin issue. It might be some addiction that you're in. It might be the sin of anger or hatred or unforgiveness. It can be 100 different things. But you know, right? You know what your sin is. Surely you know. If not, ask God and He will make it clear to you, God, why am I struggling so much? And then repent of it. Repentance means to call it what it is. God, I'm not making any more excuses for this. I'm not blaming anybody else for this any longer. This is my sin, and I call it sin before a holy God. It is wrong, and God, I need your help. I need your strength. And maybe you need to go to another person, another brother or sister or elder or myself and or a dear trusted Christian friend, and maybe the first step of real release for you is just to let somebody else know about it so that you can have some encouragement and prayer support and accountability. And somebody to maybe help you walk through Scripture to get a better path to walk on. We have to throw off the sin that entangles us. I want to end in 2 Timothy with a picture of one that reached the end. The Apostle Paul, he writes at the end of his life, these great encouraging words that we ought to have out before us kind of as a goal for our life, that we would get to the end of our lives and be able to say the same thing. In 2 Timothy 4, Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me now, laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing. You know, experts say, how do you achieve a goal? Well, you set the goal, and then you work backwards from that, right? You say, here's what I want to accomplish. Well, now what do I need to accomplish that goal? Well, I need to do this and this and this and this. Well, that's what we need to do here. The goal is to reach the end of our life and say, I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I have run well all the way to the end. Well, what do I need to do now to be able to get to the end of my life and say that? Well, I need to spend time with God every day. I need to serve God with the spiritual gifts that He has given me. I need to be with God in prayer and in His Word. And I need to be with the family of God. I need to share my life with others in fellowship and in outreach and in service and in love for the glory of God. So friends, let's make that our prayer, to finish the race well and to begin to do the things today and tomorrow and this week that will lead to that end. As I close, as Chad comes to lead us in a closing song, what I'd like you to do as a point of application is I want you to, at the bottom of your insert, I want you to write the thing that you feel like is the biggest obstacle. Even as I preached this morning, something came into your mind and into your heart, whether it was a past issue or a focus issue or a sin issue, that you know, friend, you know is the thing that's keeping you from really moving full speed ahead in your Christian life. And I want you to jot that thing down. And I want you to take it before God in prayer. And maybe even consider, like I said, taking it to a friend and saying, I want to not be hindered by this thing anymore. I'm going to move forward, but I need help. That's the application for this morning. Would you pray with me? Father God, Your Word is powerful. And it cuts in our hearts. Because it speaks truth, Your truth, into our hearts. God, You've called us as Christians to run the race of the Christian life and to run it well. Your Word says that You have given us everything that we need for life and godliness. It's not impossible. We really can grow and become more like Christ and serve You well. But God, obstacles come along the path. We're warned about them, as we saw in Your Word today. We're warned about sin that entangles, about running aimlessly, about not dealing with our past and letting it hold us back. God, I pray that for each person today, as we close our service, that You would just bring that to the forefront of our hearts and our minds, that which we need to deal with before You, that obstacle that has got us right now hindered in our Christian movement. And my prayer is, Father, that each person would take that, whether it's yet this morning before we leave, whether it's in their own devotional time this week, but God, that we would do serious, serious business with You about these issues that are holding us back, so that we can one day stand before You and hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That is our desire, Father. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.